May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 993. O Zion, afflicted with wave upon wave, whom no man can comfort, whom no man can save, with darkness surrounded, by terrors dismayed, in toiling and rowing, thy strength is decayed. Hymn 993.
Thank you. From the Word of God, we'll read Isaiah's prophecy, the 41st chapter. The prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 41. Keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near and let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. Who raised up the righteous man from the east, called him to his foot, gave the nations before him, and made him rule over kings. He gave them as the dust to his sword, and was driven stubble to his bow. He pursued them and passed safely, even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. Who have wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first and with the last, I am he. The isle saw it and feared. The ends of the earth were afraid, drew near and came. They helped everyone his neighbor. Everyone said to his brother, be of good courage. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smoothed with the hammer, him that smote the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering. And he fastened it with nails that it should not be moved. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them, and shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new, sharp, threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, shall make thee hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away. The whirlwind shall scatter them, and thou shalt rejoice in the Lord. and shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places, and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittar tree, and the myrtle, and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree, and the pine, and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord have done this, and the Holy One of Israel have created it. Produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, saith the King of Jacob. Let them bring them forth and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things, what they be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare us things for to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that ye are gods. Yea, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and behold it together. Behold, you have nothing, and your work of naught. An abomination is he that chooseth you. I have raised up one from the north, and he shall come. From the rising of the sun shall he call upon my name, and he shall come upon princes as upon mortar, and as the potter treadeth clay. Who have declared from the beginning that we may know, and before time that we may say, he is righteous. Yea, there is none that showeth. Yea, there is none that declareth. Yea, there is none that heareth your words. The first shall say to Zion, behold, behold them. And I will give to Jerusalem one that bringeth good tidings. For I beheld, and there was no man, even among them. And there was no counselor, that when I asked of them, could answer a word. Behold, they are all vanity. Their works are nothing. Their molten images are wind and confusion. May the Lord bless to us the reading of his word. May he help us now to pray. Most kind and gracious God, we thank thee for thy precious word we've read. We pray that by thy Spirit thou would seal it home to our hearts this night, that we may receive it as the word of God, the word of a king where there is power. And grant, Lord, that there may be fruit to thy praise, honour and glory, and as the evidence of life in our soul. Help us now, Lord, to bow before thy throne with reverence, to worship thee with godly fear and sincerity. Do give us that great view of God. Lord, may we stand in awe at thy presence. And yet, Lord, may thy greatness give us that faith to ask for great things, because thou art well able to exceed all our askings. We ask, Lord, for the pardon and for the forgiveness of every sin. Wash away our sins in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanseth from all sin. Do show us, Lord, thy mercy, thy kindness. Extend unto us thy grace. And deal with us as thou dost deal with thy children. Do give us, Lord, that grace to confess our sin. Give us, Lord, that grace of repentance to forsake our sins, to leave them behind, to hate them, to be made willing to be separated from them, to love thee more. Give us that grace to seek thee first. Give us that grace of humility, of reliance upon thee alone. Draw us nearer to thee. Give us, Lord, the eye, the ear, the feet, the heart, the mouth of faith. May we be found looking unto Jesus. And do thou be the author and the finisher of our faith. We ask thy presence here this evening. We ask that thou would speak to each soul found in this house of God, this little sanctuary this night. And that thou would remember each one of thy great salvation. Bless this church and people. Do thou supply them each and every need. Be with them in their daily lives. Guide, support, uphold, and keep them. And may each be taught of God. And bless those absent this evening for whatever reason. May they know thy blessing also. If you have any, Lord, who need thee in any special way, any who need direction in the way to go, any that need deliverance in any matter, any in trouble and sorrow and distress, Lord, whatever thy people are in this night, do answer their needs for them. And do bless, we pray, the services of thy house here, and grant prosperity. Visit this vine, we pray. Build them up in their most holy faith. Establish and strengthen them. And grant that there may be much fruit in this corner of thy vineyard. To thy praise, glory, and honour. Do yet add unto their numbers in this congregation and bring in others to worship here from outside. And do add unto this church those whom thou hast eternally loved, and whom it is thy will to call by grace, whom thou hast already called by grace. Lord, call them to walk the way their master went. Follow with thy blessing the labours of the Sabbath school this afternoon. May something have been sown which will bear a copious harvest in the years to come. And grant thy blessing to rest upon the children and young people, put a hedge round about them, keep them to thy ways, keep them to thy house. And do thou supply their each and every need, grant them success as far as is right in thy sight, in examinations, provide for them in employment, in homes to live in godly partners in life. And Lord, do keep them in thy ways. Raise up a generation to serve thee and continue the worship of thy great and holy name here. And bless thy church worldwide. Visit the downcast. Heal the sick. Give sight to the blind. Give life to the dead. Fruitfulness to those who are barren. Forgiveness to those who feel guilty. Conviction of sin to those dead in sin. Grant unto each that true repentance, for we all need, Lord, that grace day by day. And Lord, bring back those who have worshipped, but have turned their backs upon thee. O Lord, may it be proved in days to come that thou hast not turned their backs upon them. May thy almighty arm be stretched out on their behalf to cause them to return for thy glory's sake. Help us now as we turn to thy word. And grant, Lord, that thy voice may be heard. And grant, Lord, thy presence and thy help and thy blessing as we remember thy dying love at the close of this service. Remember us as we seek to remember thee. We ask for Jesus' sake, amen.
Hymn number 940. Compared with Christ, in all beside, no comeliness I see. The one thing needful, dearest Lord, is to be one with thee. Hymn 940.
Seeking thee, Lord's help, we turn this evening hour to the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 41, verse 10. The 10th verse, the 41st chapter in Isaiah's prophecy. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. The one speaking in our text this evening is the mighty God. The triune Jehovah. The God of the covenant. And he is speaking to those who are found in the eighth verse. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. It's not speaking to everyone. Of course, in a literal way, he did fulfill this text in the life of Jacob. But this is a word for all spiritual Jacobs and all spiritual Israels. And that should encourage you and me. We could understand it if he said it to Abraham. In fact, the first fear not of Scripture was said to Abraham. Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and exceeding great reward. But he says here, this to Jacob. And he is known in Scripture as the God of Jacob. Why? Well, if you read the history of Jacob, you find that he was a great sinner. He was a man who went to some lengths in sin, ruthless in getting what he wanted. He was a man who deceived others, who took advantage of others. He was a man who even involved God in his own deceit. He was a great sinner, and yet he was saved by grace, by the greater love and the mercy of God, which proved greater than all his sin. And we see here in these two names, Jacob, the old man of sin, Israel, the new man of grace. Every child of God is a Jacob and an Israel. That's why he's known as the God of Jacob. It's because you and I, if we are under the teaching of God, you won't be able to walk with Abraham, the father of the faithful. You won't be able to walk with Daniel, greatly beloved. But you will be able to walk with Jacob. Friends, Jacob, we are told by our Lord himself when he was upon earth. We are told that along with Abraham and Isaac, Jacob today is in heaven. He got safely landed. And why not you? Why not you? It's to these characters that our text is addressed. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Now, an unbeliever has every reason to fear, every reason to dread, every reason to tremble. And if you and I are a stranger to God, then do not think this world is for you. If you are yet dead in sin, if you as yet have never been brought to the footstool of mercy begging for forgiveness, if you've never been brought to cast your all upon Christ, then you have everything to fear. Out of Christ, God is a consuming fire. Out of Christ, God will only condemn. Out of Christ, there is nothing but misery and anguish to come. But to those who are found in Christ Jesus, to those who have been brought by faith to cry for mercy, to those who have been brought to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and to those of you who are still crying for mercy this evening, but you haven't found it yet, this is a word for you. Fear thou not. Why? For I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. This is a word to you to keep on asking, to keep on knocking. Don't let Satan frighten you away and say because he hasn't answered you yet that he won't answer you. He will answer in his own good time. In the moment he's teaching you patience, the moment he's teaching you submission, at the moment he's teaching you what mercy is. We do not deserve God's mercy. We cannot dictate to God when he answers in any matter, but especially in the matters of grace. But poor seeker this evening, fear thou not. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Keep on asking Almighty God to receive you as a sinner and deal with you kindly for Jesus' sake. Keep on asking him to tell you that he is your God and your Redeemer. And in his own good time he will answer. Poor fearful saint, be not dismayed, nor dread the terrors of the night. Thy God will ever be thine aid, and put the hosts of hell to flight. Nor sin nor Satan can o'ercome the arm that vindicates thy cause. God, thy own God, will lead thee home in spite of all that may oppose. Satan will oppose you with all his might, and his might is stronger than yours. And there will be times when you prove the strength of his might. But because you're also going to prove, I am with thee, and I am thy God, you've nothing to fear. Why? Because I will strengthen thee, says the Lord. I will help. I will uphold with his almighty strength. with his almighty power, with his almighty grace, with his almighty love. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Fear thou not. This is one of the few scriptures where it doesn't just say fear not, but fear thou not. The emphasis is on the individualness of whom the Lord is talking to. He is, of course, talking to the whole Israel of God, but he's also talking to each individual member of it. And to each of his children, he says, fear thou not. And then he gives a reason. For I am with thee. And that's all you need. Child of God, you who have proved him these long years, why are you doubting him now? He who has been your guide all your lifetime past, and who has given you so many encouragements and blessings since you first were brought to know him all those years ago. Why are you now fearful that he will cast you off at last? Why are you now afraid that he will leave you to fend for yourself in these last few steps of the journey of life? Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Now, dismay is stronger than fear, isn't it? It's more intense than fear. It's the strongest fear you can get. It's terror. It brings someone to a complete standstill. To their wit's end, they don't know what way to go. And child of God, do you not often feel dismayed when you consider that last step? That greatest of enemies, that moment when you will be parted from all that is upon this earth and be called to stand in the immediate presence of an infinite holy God. But to you this evening he says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Yes, he is infinitely holy, but he's still your God. Yes, he is infinitely holy, but that holiness is with you, not against you. This word righteousness at the end of our verse here this evening can be interpreted as a justice. Now, child of God, you who are washed in the Redeemer's blood, you are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Even the justice of God is something you no longer have any need to fear, because it is now on your side. Because at that cross on Calvary, the almighty anger of God that he had specifically against you was poured in its entirety upon the holy body and soul of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. It's not even a drop left. To fall upon you. And now, whereas before, when you were stranger to God, to grace, the justice of God demanded your condemnation, demanded your eternal punishment, demanded that you be sent to hell. Now, believer, you who have been brought to trust in him, that same justice demands your acquittal. That same justice demands that you be admitted into heaven. That same justice demands that in that last great day that you be found on the right hand of the Saviour. He who has upheld you all these years at the right hand of his righteousness, in that last great day will appoint you a place on his right hand side, literally. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God and child of God. You'll prove it the most when you come down to death's door. And that will be when you and I need him most. How wilt thou do in the swellings of Jordan? You must come there one day. Have you got a fear thou not to rest upon? Or will you have vain hope to ferry you across? And what does your hope rest upon this evening? Is it Jesus Christ and him crucified? Is it what he's done in his life and in his death? If it is, then it's a good hope. If you have that evidence that he has lived and died for you, then it's a good hope. But anything short of that is a false hope. Anything short of that will not do. Anything short of that, and you and I are in eternal danger. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I am the word of almighty power. I am the name which God revealed himself to Moses, the ever-present, almighty God, always ruling, everything always under his feet, under his complete control. A present help in time of need. Still kind to hear and strong to save. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. God the Father is your God, spiritual Israelite. And in holy, infinite, amazing, almighty love, sitting upon his throne, God the Father looked upon you in eternity past, child of God, and put you among his family. For no other reason than that he loved you. And he loved you because he ordained in his sovereign will that he would love you. There was nothing in any who he chose to merit delight. He looked upon the whole of mankind, not in her innocence, but as he knew she would fall. In her disgrace, in her unworthiness, in her barrenness, in her disgraceful, shameful condition. But the love of God is greater than all the sins of a child of God. The love of God is greater than tongue can tell or words express. And do not think that the love of God the Father is any less great than the love of God the Son or God the Holy Ghost. God the Father loves as much. This love is an almighty love. And the strength and the power of that love is what takes an enemy of God and makes him into a child of God. That takes a soldier of the devil and makes him into a soldier of Christ. That takes a rebel and makes him submissive. That takes a blasphemer and makes him cry, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You look what the love of God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost has done. Look what it did in the life of the Apostle Paul. What a change that love made. He was changed from being a man who spent all his energies in persecuting the church, in trying to exterminate the name of Christ, to one who spent all his time in preaching that very name he'd tried to destroy. Friends, such is the almighty love of God. It was more powerful than Satan's hold over the Apostle Paul. The love of God. God is a God of love. Almighty love. Holy love. Pure love. Sovereign love. A love that can never end. A love which had no beginning. A love which causes him to say in the previous verse, I have chosen thee. And not cast thee away, though thou didst deserve to be cast away, Jacob, for thy mighty sins. It was love in the heart of the Father which gave his Son and sent him into this world. And it was love which made the Son of God come into this world, that same love. It was love that made the Lord Jesus Christ take on that human flesh. It was love that made him willing to lie in the womb of the Virgin Mary. It was love that made him willing to be born in Bethlehem. It was love that made him willing to live that life of sorrow and of suffering and distress here below. Because it was his desire that each and every one of these for whom his Father had given into his hands should safely at last be conveyed home to glory at last. And therefore, in love, the Saviour came and performed that work of righteousness. In love, the Saviour came and suffered on Calvary's cross. In love, he set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem. In love, he went forth to meet the soldiers at the Garden of Gethsemane. In love, he did not call for his Father to send down 12 legions of angels. In love, he allowed himself to be nailed to that cross. In love, he submitted unto death. In love, he drank that cup of suffering as he stood in the sinner's place, drinking of the anger of God. Almighty anger. Your dread crimes once pierced his heart, sank his soul in vengeful smart. But his sin-atoning blood now maintains your peace with God. The price of that peace, believer, the price of a fear not, the price of a thus saith the Lord, the price of heaven at last, is the precious blood of Jesus Christ had to be shed upon that cross at Calvary. And he had to suffer beyond what tongue can ever tell or heart understand. Such is the love that the Lord Jesus Christ has. It was so strong. That it made him not only go to Calvary's cross, but stay hanging on that cross until the last sin of the least child of God had been atoned for. He would not lose one of his sheep. And I've no doubt the devil tried to tempt him to terminate his sufferings early. But no, even that meanest of sheep, that greatest of sinners, he hung on that cross until the sins of that one had been atoned for. All for love's sake. Thou who wast rich beyond all splendor, all for love's sake becamest poor. Thrones for a manger did surrender, sapphire paved court for stable floor. Thou who art God beyond all praising, all for love's sake became his man, stooping so low, yet sinners raising heavenward by thy almighty plan. And once he stoops and takes you into his arms of love, you'll never fall out of those arms. And he'll never put you down again either. You're safe eternally and you're safe for time in those arms of righteousness, of strength, of holiness. And to you he says, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands, thy walls are continually before me. And from time to time, believer, he will give you a glimpse of those arms, those hands. And what will you be favored to see? He's graven your name upon his hands. He knows your name. I know them by name, he says, of his sheep, every one of them. But he doesn't just say thy name, does it? It says, I've graven thee. It goes deeper. He has graven your concerns, your burdens, your cares, your sorrows, your perplexities, your temptations, your needs for tomorrow, your needs for this week, your needs for time. He has graven the day of your death upon his hands, and he has graven your eternal needs upon his hands. There's everything in that verse. I have graven thee from the palms of my hands. Your past, present, future, believer, are safe in his hands. Thy walls are continually before me, thy walls, where you live, where you worship, where you work, where you go to school. Wherever you may abide, there you are continually before your Lord, God, and Saviour, never out of his sight. And fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. And then the Holy Ghost is thy God. And he loves as much as the Father and the Son as well. And it is that love which constrains him to go forth into the sinner's heart. There's nothing attractive in that heart when he first goes there. There's no grace. There's no faith. There's no love, there's no life, there's no fruit. The only thing that's there is deeply offensive to the Holy Ghost. And yet in love he comes into that heart and he forms in that heart that new nature. And he gives faith. And the result of that faith is that you will start to cry to God for mercy. Where there is no cry for mercy, there's no faith. If you've never prayed to God, there's no faith. As sure as God gives life, so surely will that heart cry out to God. Because the fruit of faith is prayer. The fruit of that faith is that you will depend upon God. You will know that you have a need, and that you will know that the only one that can supply that need is God himself. And so you'll be compelled to cry to God to save you, to redeem you, to wash you in his precious blood. And the prayer of faith will save you in his own good time. It is the Holy Ghost who reveals to a sinner his sins, who teaches him the meaning of the word sinner. Until we are taught by the Holy Ghost, we don't think sin is a great thing. We think it's something that's easily put right, easily explained away, easily ignored. But when the Holy Spirit comes in and brings you into conviction of sin, you'll be speechless. There will be no excuse. There will be no running away and hiding from him either. You will come in guilty, and you will know what it is to feel condemned before God for your sin. But the knowledge of that condemnation will make you cry out to God all the more. And friends, that's the difference between natural conviction, which we all have from time to time, and Holy Ghost wrought conviction. Natural conviction will drive you away from Jesus. Natural conviction will drive you away from God. Natural conviction will make you try and put it right yourself, and you'll be satisfied with your efforts. But the conviction of the Holy Ghost will drive you to God in prayer. And it will keep you praying until you find an answer from God. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. It is God the Holy Ghost that reveals Jesus Christ as a friend of sinners. He reveals to this one that God is not only holy, but that in his holiness he has made this way whereby sinners can approach God and not be consumed, whereby sinners can be reconciled to God. Whereby sinners can find acceptance with God and peace with God. And the whole point of the Holy Spirit's teaching and conviction of sin is to show that soul his need of Jesus Christ and then to reveal Jesus Christ as the Saviour and the friend of sinners. And to bring this one to see and to know that Jesus Christ is his friend, is his Saviour, is his Lord, is his God. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. And some of you can remember, can't you, when all those fears were put away, when all that dismay went, under a sense of the blessing of the love of God in your heart. It is the Holy Spirit that conveys the love of God. It is the Holy Spirit that whispers and pronounces these blessings of peace and pardon and assurance in the heart. And so this one will prove by experience that the whole Trinity is his God. You will have that privilege to be able to say, I am his, and he is mine. Things that once were wild alarms cannot now disturb my rest. Closed in everlasting arms, pillowed on his loving breast. Oh, to lie forever here, doubt and care and self-resign, while he whispers in mine ear, I am his. And he is mine. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. And he says to you, child of God, this evening, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Why? Because I am thy God, that's why. And the fruit of that love is this, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I will strengthen thee. And you're going to need this strength. This strength to endure. This strength to fight the good fight of faith. Each believer is exhorted by the Holy Ghost through Timothy, through the Apostle Paul in his writings to Timothy, to fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He exhorts, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And when you are fighting, believer, your strength will decay. When you are under temptation, your strength will decay. You'll be brought to see what a weakling you are. And the only way you are going to endure in this fight is as God gives you that strength to fight on. As he gives you that faith and that grace to rest in him and in him alone. I will strengthen thee. I will strengthen thee. I will strengthen thee to return when you fall and stray, when you backslide. He will chasten, he will rebuke, he will reprove, but he will also forgive. And he'll give that one that strength to return as a humble sinner to God, crying for mercy as he's never cried before. I will strengthen thee. He will strengthen thee when Satan comes in with his fiery darts and says, "Hath God said?" When he questions why God is dealing with you as he is. When he puts before you questions you cannot answer and which cut to the very core of your soul. I will strengthen thee is the word of the Lord. And he says, I will. And he always fulfills his promises when he says, I will. And he'll give you that strength just when you need it. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. He will give you all the help that you are going to need, all the aid you are going to need, all the grace you are going to need. You'll never be able to go one step without his help, without his divine assistance. And from time to time you'll wonder at the amazing condescension of God, that he who is so almighty should so condescend to take notice of you, to help you in your way. Yea, I will uphold thee, the right hand of my righteousness. He's going to carry you. If he didn't uphold you, you'd fall. If he didn't uphold you, you'd be lost. If he didn't uphold you, you'd go back to the world. If he didn't uphold you, you'd make shipwreck of faith. If he didn't uphold you, you'd be absolutely crushed by Satan. But no, he says, yea, I will uphold thee. His everlasting arms are underneath you, believer, and you can't fall out those arms. Whatever trouble comes, those arms are still underneath you, carrying you through, supporting you, sustaining you, strengthening you, and carrying you ever homeward to glory. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. This right hand of power and authority, this right hand, this saving right hand of God, of his grace, of his power, of his love, of his faithfulness. And child of God, you'll prove this word through thick and thin, right down to the end of the way. And then in heaven you will be able to praise God forever, because he was faithful to his word and he fulfilled it in every clause. And child of God who has many fears, in providence, he says, fear thou not. Whatever may come, fear thou not. There's a reason for it all. And your first hymn gave you the answer to that reason. In all thy distresses, thy head feels the pain. All are most needful, not run is in vain. Then trust me, and fear not, thy life is secure. My wisdom is perfect, supreme is my power in love. I correct thee, thy soul to refine, to make thee at length in my likeness to shine. Believer, His eye is always on that eternal glory to which one day he's going to call you to. And he sees you need to go through the fire to refine you, to prepare you for that glory. And one day in eternity to come, you will even thank him for the fires that he brings you through now, though you can't this evening. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. If you come into these fears and dismays this week, may the Lord God Almighty bring this word back to your remembrance. May you be enabled to plead it before your God. And those of you who do have fears this week, take this now to God in prayer and ask him to do as thou hast said. And then thank God and take courage. And wait for him to answer. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them, and shalt not find them. Even then that contended with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Though trouble now thy heart appals, and deep to deep incessant calls, no storm shall injure thee. Thy anchor once in Jesus cast shall hold thy soul till thou at last him face to face shalt see.
The collections last Lord's Day were £730, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Buss will administer the Lord's Supper after this service. Mr. Pocock is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Robert Field next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 297. Jehovah has said, 'tis left on record, the righteous are one with Jesus the Lord. At all times he loves them. 'Twas for them he died. Yet oft times he proves them. For grace must be tried. Hymn 297.
Thank you.
May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost rest and abide with us each now and forevermore. Amen.